Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Tonight I want to talk about God's rule for man in order for us to have life. God's rule as it pertains to our life here, but also in an ultimate way, the way in which God's rule is essential for us to have eternal life beyond this life, to be able to be with God in heaven someday. We are living in a very sad and interesting time. We live in an age where people are holding to modern views in regard to their life, as well as when it comes to the Bible. When it comes to authority, a lot of people want to self-govern their life. We're seeing that in our world today, that those who are in authoritative roles, such as the police and other areas, that people are rebelling against those who are trying to keep law and order. And therefore, it should not surprise us that they would also, the majority, have the same view whenever it comes to God and His Word, His rule and authority. But then in like figure, not only do people have a problem when it comes to God's desire to rule and to be the authoritative figure over us, people look to the truth and they say that there's no way that we can really walk away with a full understanding of what truth is. As these people look to truth, they look at it some from a subjective standpoint, whatever they want to believe, whatever they feel is okay. Others look at it from a relative standpoint, relativism, and say that culture will dictate or society needs to dictate what truth is. But yet at the same time, the Bible very clearly identifies what truth is and also that we can certainly come to know the truth. Then also, tonight I want to focus on what the Bible has to say about faith. But to begin with, as we look to the religious world, the world as a whole has a problem with faith. But from a religious standpoint also, we understand is that there are all kinds of messed up ideas with regard to people who claim to believe in God. Some believe that in order to have a faith that is going to be pleasing and acceptable to God, is all that is required is you to know about God, to have an intellectual understanding and then some form of an intellectual acknowledgement of God. Others believe that faith permeates from the heart, and there in the heart you believe of God, and from the heart you just confess and say some sort of a sinner's prayer. And you and I know that that is not true to what the Bible teaches about faith. Also, though, tonight I want to touch upon the church. In the religious world, we are finding that people believe that all churches are good to go, that one church is just as good as another. And friends, again, the Bible teaches contrary to this. What do we find from a biblical standpoint as to what God identifies about authority? In the book of Amos, Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through verse 8, Amos has been revealing as to the way in which God looks at Israel, His chosen people. And God speaks through Amos using visions. And as we have had read before us, three different visions, and one including a plumb line, Amos identified is that God has set a plumb line against Israel. And as we look at a plumb line, to most of us, we might really and truly not understand what a plumb line is, but if you look at it from a carpenter standpoint, a plumb line is a tool that is used, that is utilized to measure a wall. And in that measurement, it measures as to if it is balanced or if it's out of balance, if it's leaning in or tilting out. And if it's not plumb, if it's not balanced out, then you have a faulty wall and you can't move forward, because if you do, then your entire structure is going to be in danger of collapsing and probably will under certain circumstances or conditions. As God has measured Israel, He found them to be faulty. He has given them instructions explicitly as to what He required of them. And all they had to do was to listen to the prophets and the instructions of their fathers. who were speaking on the behalf of God, giving these individuals the divine instruction, giving them the standard that God expected, required of them. But what did they do? They dismissed it, probably in part as to the way in which we see in our modern society, everyone wanting to rule their own life, everyone not being satisfied with the rule of God. And they looked at the rule of God as if it were restrictive. And we hear those same arguments today. But friends, the Bible identifies to us is that the New Testament Scripture is a way in which God speaks to us. The New Testament Scripture stands very much so today as the standard upon which God measures us. God has given us His final revelation. It is given to us by way of inspiration. And as we read and study from the New Testament Scripture, also from the Old Testament, we need to understand is that there is nothing that is found therein that is contrary, that man is able to refute. God has delivered unto us His perfect will. And in this, not only has He spoken this message to us, but friends, God has also stated it in such a way that we are able to read and to study it and then to apply it to our life. And therefore, as God measures us according to the standard, He wants us to know that whether we obey His standard or not, that it will be used against us during the course of our life here. But more importantly then, too, is that that standard of measurement will be that which is used against us or even for us in the day that we stand before the Almighty God in judgment. What about knowing Scripture? Can we know for certain what God has in store for mankind? Can we have an absolute truth? Most certainly. God identifies to us that His Word is the truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." And that Word is able to work in our lives in a measure that God will forgive us of our sins. And you and I will be able from that point to enjoy knowing that our sins are forgiven and to enjoy a relationship with our God and our Creator. Jesus stated it this way in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How can you and I have this understanding of the absolute truth that God has presented before us? We must possess an accurate view of the Bible. To not look at the Bible as much of the world looks at the Bible. Many in the world look at the Bible as if it's just some sort of another book. But friends, you and I, as Christians, God expects us to look at His Word for the truth that it is. God wants us to understand that it's not a communicated message that man has written. Yes, God used certain men, holy men of God, as they spoke on the behalf of Him. And therefore, we understand that the Scripture is given by God. Theos neustos is a term that we read from the Greek language in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17, if you read the broader end of that context. But in verse 16, he says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." And inspiration of God is theos, neustos, literally meaning God breathed. God breathed out or spoke out His message to mankind. And if we are going to come to an understanding of this absolute truth that God has delivered to us, we must approach the Scripture with that view in mind. But friends, also, we must be willing to play by the rules. Can you imagine going through life without rules? If everyone had the ability to go out and to govern their whole life, to go out onto the roadway and just drive however you wanted to drive at whatever speed you wanted to go, it would be chaos. Can you imagine? I'm a big sports fan, especially when it comes to basketball. And there are all kinds of rules involved. Can you imagine a basketball game or a football game or a soccer game without rules? Absolutely not. It helps things to stay in order, as well as it helps to determine the progress of the game. And God has given us rules that we must abide by in order for us to arrive at a proper understanding of the truth. We must approach the Scripture properly playing by the rules. And then also, as we approach the Scripture and come to an understanding of what truth is, we must make sure that as we use God's Word, that we use it in the context as which He has given it. And then friends also, that as we seek to make application to our life or even to the lives of others, that we are making the type of application that would please God, that is certainly in line with His Scripture. But then also, knowing the Scripture, in order for us to know the truth as God has given it, one must see the power of God's inspired Word. God does not operate outside of His Word today, other than from the realm of providence. We know that God is working behind the scenes through our prayers, but also due to the fact that as the Creator, He wants to continually be actively involved. But what I mean that God does not work outside of the realm of His Word, many in the religious world think that God still works miracles, but the Bible tells us that the day of miracles have ceased. And the way that God works in our lives in a very powerful and meaningful way is through His Word, through His message. And as we look and read from the Scripture, we need to realize the power that God is trying to work in our lives to open our eyes to the truth, to open our hearts to changing our lives and living in accordance to His will, so that someday we will be able to not only know the truth, but friends also to be able to dwell with Him in eternity. This requires of you and me as Christians, as even individuals who are not Christians, who want to become a child of God, who want hope beyond this life. It requires us to be committed to studying God's Scripture every day. We need to be like the Bereans we read of in Acts 17 and verse 11, who searched the Scriptures diligently. We need to be ready to give a reason, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, to anyone who asks for the hope that is found within us. We need to be individuals who have a firm foundation upon where we stand and why we believe what we believe, so that our faith will be strengthened, as Brother Tenpenny's lesson was at NHC today. But then, friends, also, that we will be able to refute false doctrine and have an effect upon others who are in search of the Lord and His saving way. I mentioned a while ago in introduction that there is confusion in the religious world when it comes to faith. And when it comes to faith, everyone that I've ever spoken to says that faith is indeed essential. Without faith, the Scripture tells us that it's impossible to please God. And we want to please God, and we must please God in order to dwell with Him in heaven someday. And in this, we must understand that we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must believe 100% that God is real. Daniel said when being confronted, he says, there is a God in heaven who can interpret the king's dreams. And you and I need to have that same faith that 100% we know that our God is real and alive today. But friends, not only that God is alive and real, but that His Son, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Lord said that unless we believe that He is, then we would die in our sins. We must have faith, and the type of faith that we must have is not that we are walking blindly through this world and saying we believe in God without any evidence to back it up. We need to be individuals who examine very thoroughly the evidence that God gives of Himself. The world itself, the creation, shouts out that there is a God. For the sake of me, I cannot understand why there are atheists and agnostics, skeptics, who say, and these individuals are very intellectual. They've studied. They're scientists, many or most of them, from my understanding. And in that, they contend that there's not a God. And I'm saying, why can you do that? How can you do that? The psalmist tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And friends, as you and I look out into the material universe, God wants us to be at awe as to His creation. and the fact that He is the Creator. The world in which we live has design to it, and therefore we would conclude that of necessity there must be a designer. As we look to the way in which God has formed every aspect, every facet of this earth that we are blessed to be able to dwell in, I just stand back and say, how could anyone question God? But then also, and I know very little in regard to the medical aspects as to you and me, you look to the complexity of the human body, and I scratch my head and say, how could anyone deny the existence of God based out of the human life, our life, and the cells and the organisms and such of which we are made up of? How could anyone deny God? We need to examine thoroughly the external evidence that I've been speaking of, but then also the internal evidence that God reveals of Himself in and through the Scripture. In order for us to have this faith that God expects us. But then in like figure, as we develop a faith, the Scripture tells us that we must do more than just believe that He is. And nowhere in the Scripture do I find that those who have faith, a faith that's going to be pleasing to God, a faith that will enable them to have the forgiveness of God of their sins. Nowhere do I read in Scripture that an individual accepts Jesus Christ into their heart or they say some sort of a sinner's prayer. But rather what we find is that those who have biblical faith, saving faith, they will submit to obedience to our God, beginning in baptism. Why in baptism? Because this is where God identifies that you and I, that mankind is able to access the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's in the blood of Christ that we are forgiven of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Friends, sound doctrine then, as Christians, must replace foolish theories. As we live as Christians, we must move forward each day, every single day, in developing a stronger faith, belief in our God. I remember years ago when we were in Indiana and I was preaching part-time for a small congregation and other men of the congregation also were sharing the pulpit, and one man got up and he was speaking about faith and the need for us to grow our faith through continual study of Scripture and through involvement of the work of the church. And he says, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that is so true. It's true to life, but friends, it's also true when it comes to our faith in God. And we must continue to study so that our faith abounds and so that we are rooted and grounded in the truth, in the doctrine of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why do people fall away? Because they're not rooted and grounded in the truth. Why do people fall away? Because they're pulled away or led away by Satan. And it's because their heart was not sold, because their faith was lacking the type of faith that God requires us to have in order to please Him and to glorify Him continually through our life here. For friends also, tonight I want to talk just a little bit about the kingdom of God. The Bible identifies to us is that it was the kingdom of God and the church of Christ was established by our Lord and Savior. And in the establishment of the church, the kingdom, it was given according to the eternal plan of God. Some contend that the church was an afterthought, that God was caught off guard and Jesus was nailed to the cross and therefore He came up with a plan B, and the church is a plan B. And friends, God is not about plan Bs. He had one plan, and that was Christ. He knew that Christ was going to die on the cross and the church was a part of that plan A. And therefore, the church we read of in the Old Testament Scripture, the kingdom coming, we find the fulfillment of that in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 47. And the church plays a very significant role in God's plan of redemption, in our forgiveness of sin, as well as in our ability to someday be able to dwell in heaven with God. How so? The saved are added by Christ at the point of immersion. What is immersion? That's at the point of baptism. And the word immerse there, or immersion, means to be fully buried into, to be fully covered in the watery grave of baptism. And whenever you and I confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, whenever a soul wants to obey the Lord and become a Christian and have their sins forgiven, they make that great confession, and at that point, they submit themselves in faith to be baptized, to come in contact with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is at that given instant when they go down and come up that the Lord adds them unto His kingdom. And from that point forward, we have an obligation as well as a privilege to understand the pattern that God has given for the church. I'm involved in various Bible studies now, and this past week I had a study with a beautiful young couple in regard to the pattern that God has for mankind. And in consideration of this pattern, it's nothing new that we read of. It's nothing that God came up with, if you would, in the New Testament that is different than what we read of God in the Old Testament. In the days of Noah, God had a pattern for him to build the ark. And the Scripture tells us that Noah followed according to the pattern of God. In the days of Moses, God had a pattern for Moses and the children of Israel for the erecting of the tabernacle. And in the days of Solomon, for the temple of God. And we find Moses followed according to the pattern. And God tells us very explicitly in the New Testament Scripture, there is a pattern. How do we find that pattern? By searching the Scripture daily, by reading through the Scripture and exegeting, taking out of the Scripture exactly what God has put into it, by looking to the terms that He states to us and directly commands us to follow His directions, or from the pictures that He provides to us from the first century church. We're talking about the kingdom. We follow those things, and therefore we are embracing the pattern that God has for us as Christians, the ecclesia, the called out body of believers. But friends, also, a person's church life will factor into our eternal life in heaven with God someday. I wish that people would never say, "I want Christ, but I don't want the church." I don't see how one can ever make a statement like that. Christ died for the church, and the church is so important to the Lord. And if it was that important to Him where He was willing to lay down His life for the church to be established, for you and me to be able to be a part of His kingdom, the church also ought to be a part of our lives. Collectively, we are blessed to be able to come together and to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the Scripture tells us in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, is that God is seeking such to worship Him. Does God need anything of us? No, He does not. But does God want anything of us? He wants a lot from us. And that passage there in John 4, 23 and 24 tells us that a very major part of what God wants from us is for us to worship Him with every opportunity that we are given. You know, I'm reminded of what Jesus says there in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The context there is man worrying. And Jesus says, don't worry over anything. He says, God's got your back, if you would. God's taking care of things. And then Jesus concludes in these words by saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friends, to seek first the kingdom is to seek first the church of Christ, for which Jesus Christ our Lord died for. In that, we must never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as was the order of some, as the Hebrew writer exclaims. These individuals had stopped following the Lord. These individuals had abandoned their relationship with God, and they have now walked away from the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. And in that, to walk away is to walk away and not to have hope in this life. But friends, not to have hope eternally, to dwell with God someday. Why do I say that? I've stated this a couple weeks ago in another sermon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, says that in the end, Jesus Christ will lay down His rule and authority and will deliver up the kingdom unto the Father. And therefore, we must be in the kingdom, in the church of Christ that belongs to the Lord, in order for us to have the hope of eternal life in heaven with God someday. You see, God is not about confusion, but rather God is about giving us a thorough, in-depth explanation of what He expects out of us. He's given us a standard to live by, to govern our lives by while we are here, so that someday we will be able to have eternal life in heaven with Him when Jesus Christ returns to take us to the point of judgment. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want you to know that we love you and God loves you. And if we can help you to become a Christian, or if you're erring, to be restored, please respond.